at this time, we're going to have an opening prayer done by our dear sister, Adrienne Jamison.
Evening, sisters, please bow and pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be on the call tonight. We thank you for your love, protection. We thank you for your favor. Most importantly, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who died on a cruel cross and bore all of our sins. Father, forgive us of our sins, known and unknown, be they in word, thought, or deed, so this prayer, our prayers, will not be hindered. Bless every household represented on call tonight. Bless those that had a desire to be with us, but for whatever reason could not. I come praying for those who are bereaved at this time, especially those in the household of faith. I ask a special blessing of comfort for the Sims family in the loss of Sister Debbie. Father, ease their grieving hearts as only you can. Bless the sick among us, those going through various trials and tribulations in mind, in body, and also in spirit. Add a special blessing, Father, to the caregivers, the homeless, the incarcerated, and the displaced. Lord, we're so grateful for the Lady Prayer Warrior Sisterhood, each administrator and assistant. Bless them in a mighty special way, Father. Bless their health. Bless their walk with you, their comings and goings, and their finances, Father. We ask you to bless each and every endeavor of the Lady Prayer Warriors, every team leader and every team member, especially our upcoming turkey drive, as well as our annual 100 Days of Prayer. Father, I ask you to be with Sister Evelyn as she comes and gives us a word from you. May we listen attentively and take what we need and apply it to our everyday lives. It is in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much, Sister Adrienne, for that powerful, powerful opening prayer. Now at this time, we will have our prison salute done by our dear sister, Lisa McIntyre.
Good evening, sisters, and good evening, Sister Katrina, and thank you for hosting. The prison ministry is one of the many things that Lady Prayer Warriors offers. It consists of two parts. The first part is our group of ladies that write letters to the inmates to teach them the gospel, to encourage them along the way. The second part is sisters who send letters or write cards or texts or letters or gifts or even make phone calls. We make phone calls, we send cards out to the elderly, to those who are sick, to those who live alone and just need a word of encouragement. The team consists of 19 members, with our team leader being Sister Jan Goosey. The team members are Sister Angela Hunter, Astrid Alexander, Adrienne Jamison, Beverly White, Brenda Mason, Charzetta Gwynn, Dorothy Rozier, Elizabeth Miller Francis, Sister Evelyn Miles, Sister Joyce Rivers, Sister Joyce Williams, Sister Stephanie Hill, Mitzi Brown, Lottie Holcomb, myself, Linda Newsom, Lavinia Gilmore, Renetta Wilkerson, and Vanessa Faircloth. Now, sending cards and letters out, sometimes you get a card back, and I recently got one back, and it came from our dear Sister Mitchell. And she said, I am so thrilled that you were thinking of me. And she wanted to say thank you. Sister Betty Smith and Sister Stephanie Hill, they always send me a text and say, thank you, sis, for thinking of me and including me in your day. And I'm so glad to think that they were thinking of me. We all like to send out a word of cheer. I just recently got asked for my address from Sister Madonna Miller, and I asked her why you wanted my address, and she said, well, you send inspiration to me, and I pass it along to other people, and they just wanted to say thank you. Now, that was a shocker, but I appreciate it. I told them, well, thank you, and thank them in advance. It's a good feeling to encourage our sisters and their families when they're going through things. This team is not about us, but all about God. We're letting our light shine. So if you would like to be a part of this ministry, just reach out to our admin, Sister Jan Goosby, and she will give you information on joining our team. It does make a great difference, sending cards, letters, picking up the phone, reaching out to our elderly, and just letting them know that we are praying for you, and also the prison support of the prison ministry that sends to the ones that are incarcerated, I should say. We get a letter back from one of the ones that always writes poems, and I just love to hear his poems. That's Clarence, and he recently moved to a new location, but I'm sure when he gets settled, he'll be sending us some more poems to encourage us with his poems. They are so beautiful. So, sisters, again, like I say, if you want to be a part of this ministry, just reach out to Sister Jane Goosby, and we are holding a seat for you. You're more than welcome to join us. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, my dear Sister Lisa McIntyre, for providing us with the information about our prison, sick, and shut-in ministry. Thank you so much. Great information. Now, at this time, we're going to have our scripture reading, and that will be done by our dear Sister Elizabeth Francis.
Good evening, sisters. Thank you so much, Sister Katrina, for hosting. Our scripture reading will be taken from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Here is the reading of God's holy word. May we say amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Elizabeth, for boldly reading God's word on tonight. Now at this time, we're going to have a song praise done by our songbird, our dear Sister Cheryl D. Anderson.
Thank you, Sister Katrina. Tonight I'm going to attempt to sing a song I haven't sang in probably 30 years. Requested by our sister Evelyn. I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard, in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker every day. I want to lead the erring in the way that leads to heaven above, where all is peace and love in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker strong and brave. I want to trust in Jesus' power to save. All who will truly come shall find a happy home in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker, help me, Lord, to lead the lost and erring to thy word that points to joys on high where pleasures never die in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the kingdom of the Lord. Thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Cheryl, for that beautiful song. Thank you for allowing God to use your voice on tonight. Now, at this time, we will have the introduction of our speaker, and that will be done by our dear sister, Lisa McIntyre.
Good evening again, sister. It is my pleasure to introduce our speaker for tonight. Sister Evelyn Miles has been married to Johnny Miles for 46 years. They have two children, 8 grandchildren, and 3 great-grands that she dearly loves. She has been a member of the Body of Christ for 42 years. She attends Bypass Church of Christ in Vicksburg, Mississippi, where Brother Willie Nettles is the pastor. She is a Sunday school teacher and has been for 30 years, a Bible teacher for the World Bible Class for 3 years. Sister Evelyn really loves the Lord and enjoys teaching the lost and helping bring men to the body of Christ. Her favorite scripture is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. She has been a member of the body of the Lady Prayer Warriors for 4 years, and she thanks Sister Cheryl Anderson for reaching out to her and telling her about the Lady Prayer Warriors. She is an active member of the Prison, Sick, and Shut-In team. She has participated in the 100 Days of Prayer, and she has done several Bible lessons such as this one. So, sisters, let me introduce to some and present to others our speaker for the night, my dear sister, my roommate, my road dog whenever we go somewhere, and who's ready to go whenever I say let's go for a trip, Sister Evelyn Miles.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening, sister. I would like to thank... Could you all hear me? Could you all hear me?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to thank... Okay, thank you. Good evening, sisters. I would like to thank all program participants. I would like to thank the administrator for allowing me to do this lesson on tonight. I would like to thank Katrina Stanford for being the host. Adrian Jameson for the open prayer, Lisa McIntyre for the beautiful prison salute, and Elizabeth Miller for the scripture. Cheryl Anderson, you've done a wonderful job on that song. Beautiful. Thank you. And in advance, I want to thank Lottie Holcomb for the closing prayer. I want to thank everyone that is on this call tonight, especially my Bypass Church family for supporting me as well. This is the 8th lesson on harvest time. I pray that you will enjoy. this lesson. Now, sister, is harvest time. In Matthew 9:35-10:11, the workers are few, and Jesus went throughout all the city and village, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Now, Jesus actually gave us a picture of what the last day will look like. Now, this period begins at his ascension, and it will end only when he comes again. We're getting very close to that point now, and Jesus described it to his disciples when they asked him what signs to look for. They wanted to know the condition of things as the very last day were approaching. Christ answered, and speaking of famine, earthquake, tribulation, nation divided, false prophet and false Christ will deceive many and lead multitude astray. The believers will be hated for even mentioning Christ's name, and the love of many will grow cold, with some falling away because of the bold increase of sin and lawlessness. Upon the earth, distress of nation with perplexity. Now, perplexity is the inability to deal with or understanding something that's complicated. Lawlessness and for looking, Jesus is describing here the most anxiety, depressed, stressed out generation of all time. So are his prophecy happening even now before our eyes. Think about it. This generation is full of anxiety and worry, multitude of fearful, and they watch incredible disaster unfold. Hurricane, earthquake, tsunami, mudslide, entire nation trembling with fear over the threats of terrorism. And heart failure is the number one killer in the world today. False religion, false prophet, false Christ are leading many astray. Millions are turning to Islam, with nation after nation infiltrated by Islamic. You would have to be in total denial if you didn't see that everything that can be shaken right now is being shaken. In the midst of all this unheaval and turmoil, I hear Jesus' word. The fields are white. The harvest is plenty. I'm convinced he's telling us people are ready to hear. This is the time to believe for a harvest. Now the time is for us to start reaping. Christ is the Lord of the harvest. And if he declared the harvest, we must believe.
Hold one moment, sisters. I think she dropped. hold on a second, sisters. We are having technical difficulties. So please be patient.
Katrina?
All right, sisters, hold tightly. She
Katrina?
Will be with us shortly.
Okay. All right.
Do we have someone that would like to give us a verse of a song? Sister Shara, do you have another verse for us?
None left for me when this life is old. Oh, I'll fly away to a God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Oh, fly away, glory, I'll fly away when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Hello.
Okay.
Yes, I am so sorry, everyone. I'm starting back over. In Luke 9, we saw Jesus sending out the 12. Apostles proclaiming the kingdom of God in the town and village of Galilee. In chapter 10, Jesus sent a large group into every town and place where Jesus is about to go. There, however, is a significant problem. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Jesus looked at the nation with a spiritual lens. Jesus does not look at the condition of Israel with all of his depravity and wickedness and think that his teaching is a waste effort. Remember, the nation is so wicked that God will destroy it 40 years after Jesus' ministry. Jesus sees souls and sees a problem. There is a harvest out there, but there are not enough laborers to gather the harvest. Before we move on in the story, we need to consider if we have the same outlook as Jesus or if we have a permissive defeat outlook. It is easy to develop an attitude that believe that we are the only one who have any spiritual interest. It is easy to assume that the world is more wicked now than in the first century, and no one is interested in God. Or we can have the mentality that everyone has already heard, and therefore the harvest has been reaped. Everyone has heard about Jesus, and there is nothing left to do. While the world has heard of Jesus and had a concept of God, I submit to you, the issue is that majority of the world is misinformed. People have been led. People have been turned off by the religious nonsense that is promoted as Christianity. They have seen self-righteous people wearing robes, performing action, and do not make sense, and are not taught in the scripture. They have seen people with irrational faith, unable to defend what they believe. Satan's effort has been to flood people with misinformation, so it is difficult to determine what is truth and what is error. I submit to you that this situation is not entirely different from the first century, the nation of Israel. We read about these self-righteous people who do not follow the actual law of Moses, but their own rules and tradition. They are burdening the people with false teaching and about what God demands of them. The Pharisees and the Sadducees are directing the people with false teaching about what God demands of them. Contradicting the teaching of Jesus and the apostles. If we extend outside the boundary of Israel, the Roman world, then we will see a familiar picture of misinformation. It was a time of religion pluralism. The call was to worship the God of your choice, and it did not matter what God you worship. Greek, Roman, paganism were the norm, and the only thing condemned was to suggest that there was only one God, and only he was to be worshipped. We must open our eyes and see that we are living in the same world that Jesus and the apostles living in. But do we have the same spiritual outlook that Jesus had? I believe most Christians have an evangelistic heart, but do not know what to do. We want to see people come to Christ to be saved, but do not know what part they can play in that effort. Let's look at what Jesus teaches us about how to be laborers for the harvest. He teaches us, Jesus' answer to the problem of a great harvest and a few laborers is prayer. The first thing is not to have a strategy section. The first step is prayer. We must remember only God can give the increase. We can do all planting and watering we want, but God is the one who provides the growth. Yet, we often leave off his critical important step. Do we believe that there is a great harvest that we must pray for so that they can be saved? Will we pray for their salvation? Will we pray that we can find them and teach them? Notice, Jesus does not say that they need to pray and sit down on the ground and hope something happens. The very next word after prayer is go your way. First we pray, but then we need to be part of the answer. Jesus said there's a big problem. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray for laborers and then become a laborer. You are an answer to our prayer. You are an instrument in the harvest of the Lord. There are a number of things Jesus teaches about how we are to go. He said, go in wisdom. Jesus said that he was sending them out as lambs in the midst of woods. That doesn't sound very good because woods are natural enemies of sheep. Anticipated difficulty in our evangelism effort. We are not going out to a world that loved the Lord. When Jesus sent out his 12 apostles, he told them there would be rejection. Jesus tells this group of disciples that they will also have rejection. Go in trust. We saw this when Jesus sent out his apostles. We see Jesus instructing these disciples to put their trust in God. They took nothing with them as they went. They were to rely on the hostility of the people. They were staying with as they taught. Jesus taught his disciples to be sacrificial servants. We must be ready to sacrifice for the kingdom of God and trust in God to provide. It means that we will not be able to spend our free time working on the yard or watching television. We will make sacrifices to our time and our comfort to extend the offer of the gospel of the world. Joy. You've got to have joy. When the disciples return, they return with joy. No matter how it goes in your evangelism effort, you will return home with an inexpressible joy from knowing you have accomplished God's will. Even when we have to shake the dust off our feet, and there is a great joy in doing your part in the kingdom of God. But we will not come back with failure. God wants us in the field, and there is a harvest bringing it. When these disciples return, they do not come back with joy only for being obedient to the will of the Lord. They are joyful because of the power of Christ's kingdom and having success in the world. Go in teamwork. Jesus does not send his disciples to go by themselves. We make a tremendous mistake by thinking that this is an individual effort and we have to do this work alone. We read that Jesus sent them in pairs. There are great numbers of reasons why we should do this work together. There is encouragement in doing the work together. There is confidence in teaching together. We learn from each other when we work together. Pick a Christian brother or sister here and work together. In James 1:22-25, be ye doers of the world, of the word, and not hearers only. Deceive your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and go his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. When Jesus sent out the disciples to go to the end of the earth and multiply, baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, he was telling them to work in the field. We are the fruit of their labor. And the many others, faithful followers of Christ, who came before us. You see, the symbolic meaning of harvest in the scripture, in capacity to main heirs, God's provision for us, and God's blessing for others. While we celebrate a harvest season, just once a year, we experience the spirit of harvest all the time. Each day that we go to a job and earn a paycheck, we experience harvest. Each time we receive love from our family and those in our life, we experience harvest. Each time we experience the closeness of God in a way that fills us spiritually, we experience harvest. Anytime we are filled, we experience on a daily basis. The harvest we experience on a daily basis don't belong to us. They belong to God because he is the Lord of the harvest. Thank you. The lesson is yours.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Sister Evelyn Miles, for that powerful prayer despite of the technical difficulties. We appreciate it, sis.
Thank you.
Now at this time, we're going to have our closing prayer, and that will be done by our dear sister, Lottie Holcomb.
Good evening, ladies. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I come before you thankful for all things. Thankful for the rain. Thankful for another day. Thankful for family, Lord. Thankful for sisters in Christ. Lord, please forgive me for any sins I've committed, whether in word, thought, or deed, so that this prayer will not be hindered. Lord, please look in on the sick and shut in, and the breathe, especially the Sims family. Bless them with strength to stand in this time of bereavement and know that it is you that is in control and that everything will be all right. Comfort them, Lord, as only you can. Lord, look in on the incarcerated. Bless all the sisters on this call and all that wanted to be here and couldn't. Lord, bless all the program participants to keep working for you, and bless Sister Miles with a mind to always be ready to teach your word. Bless us to take this lesson and use it like a tool to help us plant seeds for you, Lord, because we know that one planet, one water, but it is you that gives the increase. So bless us all to be better servants for you as we end this call tonight, Father. It is in your darling Son, Jesus' name, that we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much, Sister Lottie, for that powerful, powerful closing prayer. Now at this time,